Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Got a girl with a friend, you'll be both in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm here with a very special guest joining me all the way from New York. It's Tracy Egan Morrissey. Hi.
Hi.
So glad to have you on the pod.
I'm so glad to be back.
I needed your opinion on a lot of things, but you've really had like a wild past week. And I felt like you've recently made was this your Daily Mail debut?
Yes.
Okay, love it. Congratulations. Welcome to the Daily Mail Club. It's great to have you here. What's new in the world of Jameela Jamil?
So I kind of like stopped paying attention. I went on vacation with my daughter upstate, mm-hmm. so I kind of stopped reading the internet for a little bit, starting on like Friday evening. And then some of my friends would like text me things and I would get some stuff here and there. I know that she like locked her tweets at one point. And then, then she was like, I guess I didn't read this, but I guess she was like the host of Love Island or a former host of Love Island, like killed herself.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Jameela was trying to like implicate me in the death in like,
no.
Yes. In a way that like, this is what happens when you bully people online and blah, blah, blah. And so like, you know, like that, you know, like China, like basically sort of like teasing that like she might kill herself if I keep harassing her. So I was just like, I don't want to be involved. So I kind of stopped, but I didn't really stop. Like personally, I didn't stop. I just stopped publicly. But like I went and looked through all of her tweets and she literally was harassing Caroline Flack.
No.
She was ragging her. Yes. So they apparently were like, she was a huge Caroline Flack fan early on, like 2010, 2011. In 2013, she says to Caroline, like, hey, love, can you DM, can you follow me so I can DM you about something? And then they just start like, Tony.
Tony, he's like, I've had enough. He can't take any more Jamila drama. He's had to listen to me talk about it on every platform. Tones. Okay, wait. So she was looking through, or she was DMing with Caroline, being like, or tweeted at her saying, can you DM me?
Yes. And then they became friends, and then they were always tweeting at each other. Remember, like, around like 2013, 2014, like celebs would sort of like show off who they were friends with by like tweeting at each other. Mm-hmm. And so they were mad a lot. And then that just abruptly stopped in February 2016. And then, so something, I feel like something happened. And then Jamila just starts like dragging her about Love Island and how Love Island is a terrible show and blah, blah, blah. And it's like bad for women's bodies and body image and self-esteem and all this shit. And then in October, when Caroline, it was announced she was like hosting some show about plastic surgery, and Jamila added her, like added Caroline, mm-hmm. and was like dragging her, like, you know, you're hosting this show, it's going to be terrible for women and girls and blah, blah, blah. And like, but not like, why won't you, like, Caroline's just the host. Like, why wouldn't you at like the producers or the network or the EP or whatever? And like, she clearly, to me, it seemed like they had some kind of falling out, and then Jamila was just gonna like drag this girl, like rake her over the coals for on Twitter forever. And then, so I guess people had pointed out on Jamila's Twitter, like, that, you know, you were actually the one who was like dragging Caroline Flack, and then she locked her tweets.
Oh, great. Perfect.
But I got all the screenshots. But then she unlocked them today. So it's like, what? She can't stay away. She can't stop.
No, she can't stop. And I love, like, I love coming out the gates trying to, like, implicate that people like you are the reason that someone like Caroline would take her own life. And, like, not even having the wherewithal to do any of the research to be like, oh, I should probably delete the tweets that I tweeted at her, like harassing her online. Like, what is that, do you think? Do you think she just forgets? I always wonder, like, when people have, like, I'm pretty sure I remember everything I've ever tweeted. Like, I would know if I tweeted something like really problematic. And like, the only problematic thing I've ever really tweeted is like, that I don't trust Reese Witherspoon. And I think about that a lot. And I'm like, should I delete that? Should I keep it? I don't know if I've deleted it at this point. But I know that that was like out there. But I just don't understand people like Jamila, or even to bring it back to like Vanderpump Rules, Max and Brett, who had all those tweets using the N-word and like somehow didn't clean up the evidence like before they entered the public sphere.
Well, when I worked at Viceland, we would go through people's Twitters that were going to be hosts or going to be mm-hmm. featured on shows and comb through them to see if they had shit. Like, and then, you know, that's just part of like what, I mean, that's what, like, technically the network should really be. I mean, the people should be just not tweeting problematic things to begin with. Yeah. But like, there's a lot of failure that happens. Like, a lot mm-hmm. of people are dropping the ball leading up to a tweet, like an old tweet scandal. So, yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand why they wouldn't go and clean those up. But I do think that Jamila just doesn't have a good memory, because she is always saying things that contradict other things. Yeah. And so, like Judge Judy says, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. But, I mean, Jamila doesn't do either. So
yeah, maybe it's all the concussions. They're finally taking their toll. Yep.
Might be. She's got to have CTE with all those concussions, right? Like, worse than a football player.
Like, way worse than a football player. She's had like five times as many as anyone in the NFL.
She had the flu seven times in 2012, according to her Twitter. Wow. Which is another thing I didn't really like, because I still have done so much more research, but I just sort of like stopped making a lot of it public after she started like really going off the rails. Mm-hmm. And so I just was like, I'll just keep this in my pocket. But yeah, is that even physically possible to have the flu seven times in 2012? If you live like, I mean,
that's like once like, that's almost like once every other month. And then 1 month you just have the flu two times. So you basically have the flu for like an entire month.
So that wouldn't that just be one flu?
I have no idea.
No, the thing mean, about, the does thing that make sense?
Jamila, too, is like, it's not even that fun. Like, it's always going to be funny to me because it's just like, wow, like there are so many lies and inconsistencies. It's almost like a Donald Trump, but then it becomes like unfunny Donald Trump where it's like, clearly you, like, we're not dealing with a person that has like a solid head on her shoulders. So there's no way to even start a dialogue about what's going on because then she just like implodes on the internet. And then it kind of becomes an unfair fight because you're like, oh, yes. You're like severely imbalanced. And like, it's almost, it's like Kelly Ben Simone on Scary
Island. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Where you're like, just leave her alone. Let Kelly have her jelly beans. And like, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Cause now we're being mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's kind of, maybe this is like my last Jamila moment, but I'm here for you. Doing research.
I love to do research. I just think, and my friend Rich pointed this out, that you know, vilifying bees like this is not woke. She has such a woke platform, and bees are dying at an alarming rate, and we need them for the environment and for the planet. And for her to just constantly be like going after bees, or says that bees are going after her, also in this way, bees, it's not woke.
Aren't there? Where do killer bees live? I don't feel like there are killer bees in like California.
There apparently was like an infestation of killer bees that like they entered into America in like the 90s or something like that. And so, but I know that like I wouldn't know the difference between any kind of bees.
Yeah.
If I were to see bees, but I did speak with three bee experts following this.
What did the bee experts say?
They said that that's not how bees behave. That, and I think that she must have listened to my podcast where I discussed bee behavior because she did sort of like adopt one aspect of what I said, but she didn't get the rest of it. Like she was like, so bees, like they don't, when they do swarm, they can swarm, but when they're swarming, that's when they are leaving a hive to find a new hive. They just finished making all the honey. And they're really full. And that's when they're at their most docile. So they would never attack you.
Okay. And so
I spoke with a farmer who he was like, it's the coolest thing to be able to witness a swarm. You can put your head like right into it. And you could put it like your head like right up to the swarm. And you could hear the flapping of their wings because they're all going at the same time. Oh, and God. Like, so they won't attack you. And then also like the idea that the swarm of bees would have attacked them because they had a buffet out doesn't make sense because the bees are full. And so they're not trying to eat or go after anything sweet. They're looking for a new hive to go to. So none of the bee behavior that she mentioned made any sense. It didn't add up. Mm-hmm. And Judge Judy also says if it doesn't make sense, it's not true. So
I love that. God, we look to Judge Judy in times of need, you know?
Compass.
let's get into this episode of Vanderpump because this is the first episode of this season that's truly given me the life that I really look for when it comes
to
Vanderpump Rules. It was so good. Like, this was old Vanderpump Rules style, like reminiscent of the glory days.
It was incredible. That, I mean, the best in a long time. The best this season, for sure.
Yeah, and I hope that we continue on this path because this is really, I believe, like a real conflict that's happening where Tom and Ariana are kind of like waking up and being like, this whole group of friends is psychotic and like we have no freedom to say anything and like we have to like bring truth to the table. And meanwhile, like everyone banding against them, like that's something I can really invest in for the rest of the season.
Well, I like that someone's finally calling them like Brittany and Jax out about like you don't get to be above or beyond criticism just because you're engaged or getting married or on the road to your wedding. If anything, that's when you should be like the most like amiable and like. And nicer to your friends because they're doing all this shit for you. Like, you don't like exploit that. I don't get that whole line of thinking. And yeah. I've been married before. And I don't think I did that.
The only reason that they're getting married, or a huge part of the reason why they're getting married, I think Brittany really loves Jax and wants to be married to him. And I think Jax is really turned on by the idea of proving other people wrong. And like yeah. that trumps his like love or feelings for Brittany. Like, I think it really is more about just like, no, I can do this. You guys were all wrong. Like, we somehow as viewers and like society reverse psychology'd him into marrying Brittany.
You made a housewife, house husband.
And he's just like, wait. And I think he's even kind of confused at like how he got to this point in his life. But he's just going with it because the train has already left the station. So he's like, I might as well just like ride this out for as long as I can. But I believe deep down in my heart that they are truly on two different pages. And this wedding is just like a precursor to the inevitable divorce that will follow however many years down the line.
Do you think they'll pop out a kid or two before that happens? Or do you think that they'll come to a realization? They raw dog all the time. I wonder if like maybe, you know what? With his supplements and stuff, he might not have swimmers.
Yeah, I think that they could, and I don't like wish this on anyone, but I'm just like speculating. With the amount of unprotected sex they're having, it's quite frankly shocking that they haven't gotten pregnant yet. But I mean, between her heavy drinking, and I think they both use drugs, like I think they're both like pretty into coke, and like his supplements, I could see it being difficult to conceive a child.
Yeah. Or
I could see them running into issues when it comes to fertility.
I mean, look at God.
And like, also, I feel like if that becomes a huge thing, like obviously they're going into this wedding being like, we're going to make a baby as soon as we're married, like blah, 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 blah. And if that doesn't happen, I think both of them having to face a lifetime with the other person, just the two of them, I think that that would be a really sobering realization that neither of them truly wants. Maybe Brittany does, but I don't think that that's what Jax wants.
I don't think that she wants kids. She wants the whole, all of that stuff, the kids and the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that Jax, like part of the reason why he's with her is because also she gave him a redemption arc within the group, and she was so accepted with open arms by the group. And so then he was sort of accepted. Like, Kristen needs a Brittany. Kristen needs a boyfriend that's like Bo or something that, you know, they all are really into, and that will bring her back into the fold.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I think she is like starting to date someone now that is like in very enmeshed in their friend group, like a guy that everyone likes. And I think she realizes that that's the only way that she's going to get back in. But yeah. I really deeply in my soul feel that Kristen, more than anyone else, needs to break free and like run into the sunset and never look back. Like, she does not.
I feel really bad for her.
Yeah, she has gone through hell on the show and gets like no credit for basically making the show iconic and cementing it in like history of best reality shows ever. She gets no credit for that. She gets shit on by Katie and Stassi constantly. And like, she has a really bad picker when it comes to men. And I just think that this is like a truly toxic environment for her to be in. Like, I just don't think it's good for her like mental health or long-term stability to be deeply enmeshed in these people's lives and have them enmeshed in her life.
I think that it's always interesting because like Katie is never the one that's X'd out. So like, they did it to Stassi for a little bit, and now they're doing it to Kristen. Sheena gets it every once in a while. Lala had to endure it until she was useful with the PJ. But like, Katie's never on the out. So it just like, it all leads back to her. She fucking sucks.
She sucks. And I think people like Schwartz so much that Katie ends up getting a pass because they're kind of a package deal. But I also think that people in that group just feel kind of bad for Katie. Like, it's like she fell through a skylight.
Because the window. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like gonna just let her do her thing, and we won't like give her that hard of a time. I mean, Jax is the person
dine out on that.
Yeah, I mean, she's made it work for herself for like 7 years now, at least during the length of the show. And like, Jax is one of the people that's historically been the worst to her. Like, if there's anyone that she should be like, fuck you, you're out of the group, it should be Jax. I mean, he basically encouraged Tom Schwartz to cheat all during like season three. I think he like planted the rumor that he had. He told like, or he had planted a rumor that Katie like motorboated a guy's dick and like said he wanted nothing more than for Schwartz to rail a girl in front of her. Like, really went gung-ho, like, ride or die, let's get Katie out of our lives. And it still didn't work. But Ariana is back at Sir, and she and Dana are both bisexual, out and proud bisexuals, bisisters. I love this realization for them both.
I love that. I mean, I always sort of like suspected Ariana was a little bit like, you know, not all the way on one side of the Kinsey scale. And so, but like, I just, it never was as clear as when she decided to end an argument by going to play softball. She's like, fuck this. I'd rather be playing softball.
So if all else fails, I'm just going to go play softball. It was like, I feel you, my fellow bisexual butterfly. Like, as someone that grew up playing softball, I was like, I really related to her, like, batting cage journey.
I love a batting cage.
Getting all huffed and puffed and being like, because Sandoval can't ask one question without anyone yelling at him. And then, like, forcefully hitting a ball. I was like, yes, queen.
But she is more like, I mean, I think it's interesting that Tom Sandoval has been more of a Greek chorus. I think it's her influence. Them together are now like much more logical than everyone else put together. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, Stassi knows that the stuff with the pastor wasn't cool. Like, it seemed clear to me. And I bet Bo knows, but wouldn't say shit if his mouth was full of it.
Yeah. He knows better than to, like, get involved with that kind of stuff. Like, I feel like we saw it when he was like, you can't make that your wedding song. And then Jax was like, no, yeah, like, it's happening. And then you can
see... They called it like, Still the One, which is not the name of that song.
Or they looks like we made it. What is the name of that?
Oh yeah, song? No, they called it looks like. They're like, wait, you're gonna do looks like you made it? We made it. They like kept repeating that, but it's called Still the One. Yeah,
yeah.
And did they dance to that? Right. I mean, I'm assuming that they're not.
I'm sure they probably will. It seems like Jax is hell bent on using that song.
That came on in the nail salon today, and I laughed and thought of them.
Synchronicity at play.
I know.
Lisa, okay, wait. So this whole timeline of like pastor shenanigans, I think I remember months before their wedding, like knowing about this homophobic pastor, like just people in like the Sexy Unique Podcast Facebook group and just seeing it online. Like, I was well aware that they were like, they had committed to this guy officiating their wedding and aware and that it wasn't changing in the weeks
that was
leading
like
up.
December-ish. Like, I remember it like being on different, you know, reality TV, like gossip sites and stuff that I keep up with. And I was just like, oh, huh. I, you know, just expecting that once that news came out that they were going to make a change, and then they never made the change. And I was like, that's really interesting. And then Brittany addressed it in like January on Watch What Happens Live. And she was firm in her belief that the pastor was not homophobic and he was going to stay. And that was crazy. And it's true though. They didn't do anything until Lisa said something.
Yeah. And I'm like, obviously Lisa was waiting to say something until filming happened so that it could be a storyline. But I feel like everyone knew exactly what the deal was for months and months. And like, then when it became a storyline, I'm pretty sure the whole plan behind the scenes was like, you can't have this person, but then we'll have like Lance Bass step in, because that's such like a, it's like,
oh, that
such
makes
a correction, and it's so teed up perfectly to like corrective in that way, that it just felt like, oh, okay, this was kind of like pre-planned.
I don't know how pre-planned it was, because at one point there was like an announcement that Lisa was not going to be attending the wedding. And I think because they were going to have, I feel like they probably were going to ask her to do it. And then she just was like, I'm not touching that. Yeah. And then she ended up going to the wedding, which was interesting. But I went and I looked through the pastor's like tweet history, and like when he gave an interview to Page Six, like the day after he got fired, and like wrote a whole statement. And so I think that they definitely didn't tell him that was what was happening until the last minute. But I also think that maybe like Brittany thought she'd be able to just like have him do it. So their reasoning was so ridiculous and flawed, and like the absolute like example of what's wrong with people. Like when Jax was like, you know, you can believe in a cow. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't have anything to do with me. And it's like, yeah, that's like, that's why you're supposed to like stick up for other people, even if it like doesn't affect you. Like that's how like shitty things happen, when people like you like don't say stuff, because it like doesn't affect you. Doesn't affect your life. So selfish.
And that flashback too of them on Watch What Happens Live in January or whenever, when Brittany's like, I did see one thing, but then I asked him and he told me he wasn't homophobic, so it's fine. And it's like, okay, but how would someone who's said that like prove to you that they're not homophobic? Like, that doesn't add up. But then you also see Ariana's face, and then you see Sheena like looking back at Ariana, and like there's confirmation of like those two are like, something ain't right.
Even if you did see one thing, even if you did see the one tweet, that's enough to be convinced. I looked at all the tweets. I looked at all of his Facebook updates, or whatever they're called, his statuses, and all the different notes that he wrote. And there's just like no like gray area there. He was like patently homophobic and transphobic, and like, you know, like a rotten hell. they're gonna rot in hell kind of thing.
I love his all caps, like, it is a sin. And
well, when people say stuff and he said this, but when people are like, I don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle, it's like what? Like going to brunch and watching Wendy Williams, or like ladies who golf? Like, what's the homosexual lifestyle? Like, other than like actual sex, what is so disagreeable about it?
There's not much that I can see. I mean, I think most of the homosexuals I meet are delightful. I prefer them to most of the straight people I meet.
I prefer a homosexual lifestyle as a straight woman.
Yeah. I much prefer that to like the straight hell that's like descended on to the cast of Vanderpump Rules, and that's like just like permeating day-to-day pop culture. It's like this, and I think it also relates back to the group dynamic, and like Jax and Brittany's wedding being like, all the kind of dynamic around that wedding is like, we cannot bring up like a single question when it comes to Jax and Brittany, and how everyone is just like agreed to do that is so bizarre to me. Unless they're like having those conversations off camera, but I don't think that they are.
I don't think that they are. I've never really liked Brittany. I always thought that something was off about her, that like just somebody who would like decide to be in a full on relationship with Jax Taylor after what had been shown of him on television. And then when she claimed that she'd never seen the show, like, yeah, right. Whatever. And so I just always thought that she was like in it for the fame and whatever else it would bring. I'm sure she does really love him. I mean, he has looked good at times. He's looking less good to me now. I don't know if I'm just so sick of his shit at this point.
It changes, I believe, from like minute to minute. He's a shapeshifter. Like, he in this episode too, there were like times where I was like, ooh, Jax. And then there were times where I was like, oh, Jax. Like, I can't, yes. I can't ever, it's not consistent anymore. He's like the outsider, like the monster from the outsider.
He has his eyes, but he's blurry.
Yeah, his face is kind of droopy on one side, like obscured by a hoodie. I just like can't get a read on him. And then now he just, he really scares me because he buys into his own bullshit so, so hard. And like, I think more than ever before, and can't even, there's not even one part of either of them. And I think Brittany does it too, because they're like, obviously like so together now, where they're both just like, they defend every decision they make at all costs. There's never like, yeah, oh yeah, we made a mistake. Like, we kind of overlooked that, or like waited too long, but it's unacceptable. And like, you're right. Like, oops. Like, there's not even that level of awareness of how to like correct this like big mistake. It's just like, how dare you, and like screaming and like,
I did nothing wrong. Yeah, you did do something wrong. You like willfully ignored like blatant like homophobic statements because it didn't fit into your fairy tale wedding.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I agree that she does, that Brittany does live in like a fantasy world of her own making. But I guess that's like kind of easy to do these days. Like, I mean, I guess if there's no real repercussions, like she still gets to be on a TV show. She still gets paid a lot of money. She and Jax like bought a house. They got her dream wedding. Like, why shouldn't she live in a total fantasy world? Like, there, I mean, are no stakes.
She mentioned something about how like in LA you live in a bubble. I think that she lives in a bubble because I noticed that the two of them are real into blocking people. Like, they just block any sort of like criticism, anything that could just even have like a hint of like negative commentary. And the thing is like, yeah, like comments can really suck and it can like psychologically damage you. And it's probably not good to like read all the comments, definitely not good to believe in the comments, even if they're like good comments, because that could fuck with your head too. And so, and you know, you like learn how to deal with that over time, and it must be difficult, and she probably gets it at like such a high rate, but, that's like the price that you pay when you want to live in a $2 million house in Valley Village. Yeah. So it's like, but to block everyone, any sort of comments or whatever, like you're really going out of your way to like stay in your bubble, which isn't an LGBTQ friendly bubble, by the way.
No. And she was like, she says some people believe in really different politics than we do. And I was like, what politics do you believe in? Or like, who are you talking about? Like, tell me more. I'm like wanting them just to walk themselves into the deep end.
I wonder if she votes. I feel like
they probably don't.
Doubt it. Yeah. I don't think like Jack votes.
Too
There's
much
no
work
way.
For them. But then at the same time, I could see, I don't know, I could see it going either way. Like, I could see them both like voting for Trump, but they're also like pretty lazy. So to have to like get in the car and go somewhere that's not gonna actually like help you
stand
directly
in line.
Yeah. Yeah. No thanks. Also, that workout studio that they go to, Lit Method, I've done that class. It used to be in West Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to go like, because it was on Class Pass for a long time and close by where I live. And it's like not a great workout. I mean, if you love like a rowing machine and stuff, but I hate the rowing machine. But
machines are terrible.
They're terrible. They're torture. Why would I want to pretend I'm on a ship rowing to nowhere? Like, no. But Jax is like always posting about Lit Method, so I feel like he's like worked it out to where he gets to work out there for free.
He was wearing this shirt, which is a ripoff of an off-white shirt.
Yeah, he loves wearing their merch and like posting about them on social media. So just a side note for all you readers out there that aren't LA based. Raquel is looking great, in my opinion.
Physically or
physically, I think her whatever like kind of filler situation that she was doing has like all settled into itself. And I'm liking her like blonde hair. I think it could be about 6 inches shorter and be like much more becoming, because it's doing that ombre thing where it turns into just like dry fluff at the ends.
Yeah.
But
she looks just like Connie Britton. Don't you think?
She does. She kind of looks like Connie Britton.
She reminds me so much of her.
And like Kaia Gerber kind of morphed into a person.
Yes. Her eyebrows are a little too close for my liking. Like they're
all closer over time.
Kissing. Yeah. But you know what? I guess that's her look. So on Top Model, that's one of the things where Tyra would be like, that's your signature. Like you have to keep that, you know, like she would do like girls with spaces in their teeth.
Well then, but remember that one Top Model where Tyra tried to get, I think it was Danielle to remove the space between her teeth, and Danielle was like pushing back, and it was just like a war about the space between her front teeth.
They came to a compromise that they got caps, but there was still a little bit of space.
Yeah.
If I was getting to pay for my caps, I would just get my fucking teeth fixed.
Oh, I would get the whole mouth done. If they're putting the bill, that shit isn't cheap.
It's really expensive.
It's so expensive. And are caps different than veneers? Are they the same thing?
It's the same. Well, it depends. Like there are certain, like there's cheap ass veneers that like the Jersey Shore cast got, where like they just basically glue teeth to your teeth.
Yeah.
Like you're basically just like wearing dentures on your teeth. But then they're like the real caps, like they basically like take your teeth out and they like file your tooth down to like a stub, like a stick. Cause I have one fake one in the front. And then they like glue a tooth onto the stub.
Mm-hmm. So you can never go back to your real teeth after the like expensive veneers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then what do you do? Cause you're supposed to replace them every 10 to 15 years, right?
Yeah. I'm like terrified all the time. Every time I bite into an apple, I'm always afraid it's going to come out. It'd be a really shitty thing if my front tooth fell out right now. I can't really afford to get it fixed. So I'd be kind of devastated. But it's like, it is probably time. If I get a little bit of money, I'll do like my front four just to get them all to match, because now like, because you can't bleach caps, like you can't bleach veneers.
Oh, okay.
So, I can bleach the rest of my teeth, but you know, the veneer wouldn't match. Mm-hmm. So my teeth are just slowly yellowing, which I don't love.
Aging is the ultimate troll.
It really is. Wait, but speaking of ombre hair, why can't Sheena get her roots done? Have you noticed how just...
Are her roots lighter than her...
Oh my God. And it's been progressive since filming began. And it was just like kind of a little bit in the beginning of the season. And now at the bridal shower, it was like a good 2 inches, inch and a half, 2 inches of brown that she like, it looks like she tried to put like root touch up on it. And it just doesn't match the black that's at the bottom. So like, what's that about?
She can't just like, I think that they put like an embargo on the cast changing their hair dramatically when they're filming. Like that's apparently
even
why
getting
Katie's,
your roots done?
I don't know. I mean, that's why Katie's hair remained orange for the entirety of season 2.
Really?
They were like, you can never. Yeah, they were like, she went like halfway through the blonde transition process and then filming started, and they were like, sorry, you can't like touch it now because we need it to stay the same for continuity purposes.
Oh my! Well, that's why Tom and Ariana don't have furniture, they said. Because I guess they said that they couldn't, I guess they were like in the process of like shopping and decorating their house, but they weren't able, like they wanted to slowly buy pieces of furniture and like pick out things, I guess, instead of just like have their whole house done. And, they wanted to do that, but they couldn't get it all done before filming began. And so, they were just like left to not have furniture. So that became like their thing, is that they just don't have furniture. And I guess now it's furnished.
They've taken their like bleak apartment vibes into this new house. Where they just are floor people. It's like they're squatting in their own house.
In their $2 million home.
I love too that they like have like a mattress on the floor. Also, like the editors are trolling by showing like B-roll footage of their all their TV equipment and like audio, like speakers on the floor. But they do have like one nice really potted plant.
I would rather not have. I would rather shop for my own furniture than buy the staging furniture, which I guess is what Jax and Brittany did.
And Katie did that too.
She also bought the staging furniture.
I thought that they just did it because it was cheaper than furnishing an entire $2 million house. Like I thought like, oh, maybe they spent all these people spent all their money on the house. And then now the only way they can afford to furnish it is to like either buy the staging furniture or live on the floor. I'd live on the floor in a heartbeat.
Yeah, who wants the staging furniture
that a million strangers have sat on? Like, I don't know where it came from.
Yeah,
it's just like random. Like, it's probably it's not your style. Yeah.
Interesting. I haven't seen the Friends apartment, like the frame. The frame around the people that they all had.
I pray that's retired.
I feel like they have it somewhere, that they put it somewhere in that home. I'm not sure where.
It'll pop up when you least expect it, just to like terrorize you in a moment of total like vulnerability. I'm really not a fan of Tom and Ariana's black wall in their bedroom. It like freaks me out. It makes me feel unsafe.
Yeah. Black wall, that's tough.
I'm like, Kris Jenner is maybe the only person that can pull off a black wall, but even she puts like a zigzag element into it or something.
Tom has similar hair to her.
He is. I feel like he and Kris Jenner are kindred spirits.
I really like Tom. I think this year in particular, I mean, I always enjoyed Tom. I enjoy the crying and all of it, the costumes and the pageantry. But I really enjoy that it makes a lot of sense now. And he's just so, I mean, the most ethical, least fuckable of all of them, I think. Maybe
who's
not
the
as
most fuckable to you.
I mean, used to be Jax for so long just because he's like an animal. But, I mean, Schwartz is so cute, but he also I don't know. I don't like cheaters. So I guess that's where we are.
Yeah.
I do think that Peter is below. No. I would fuck Peter before Sandoval, I think.
Oh, wow.
I would. Yeah.
I'm glad to see Sandoval coming out like on the right side of history, so to speak, and like having a wake up call about Jax, because for so long it really like threw me that he was able to be friends with Jax given all the shit that Jax had pulled with him. And then it just seemed like Ariana she's never really taken to Jax, so it didn't make sense that they were like all friends.
It's weird how Ariana and Kristen are now very close.
Yeah, I'm into that. Like, that feels right to me.
Yeah.
But it also is like, how on earth, like, the way Kristen's mind works is like so interesting to me. Like, I'm excited to read her book to get more of a grasp on things.
I cannot wait for that book. I love the title.
I know.
It's so good. Because they did drive her crazy. I would have felt like shit if I was on a reality show with my boyfriend and then he left me for someone else who then joined the show. And then my friends would tease me about it.
Yeah.
That would drive me crazy. That would drive me crazy.
If I got outed as fucking my best friend's man and then my best friend punched me in the face on TV and everyone was like, you are a dirty slut, I would go kill myself. Like, I would not continue to be on that show. I'd change my name and like move to Wyoming and start over as like a farmhand.
Well, that's what she said. She said, I don't quit. When she was playing softball, she's like, I don't give up on anything, on men, on dreams.
She'll never give up. Even if she can't, she's like, I hit a home run every time. And she's like whiffing everything. But even the editors, I feel like everyone that works on this show is devoted to trolling Kristen and making her look as unhinged as humanly possible. And she makes it kind of easy for them because I think she's unhinged like 70% of the time. But it still like doesn't seem ethical after a certain point.
Yeah. She seems to like the attention, though. Like, at this point, it's, like, her thing. Yeah. I mean, she got a book deal on it. Like, that's her brand.
It's a platform for her to, like, jump off of. So, and I think she's taking advantage of that. Like, I think that...
Nosedive?
I didn't even mean it like that. But also, yes, that. But, like, she's spinning it in her favor. I think we'll come out on top.
I think... I hope so.
Yeah.
I really... I want to read her book. I am more interested in her book than Stassi's. I didn't look into Stassi's book at all.
I read Stassi's book. It's a grand disappointment.
Yeah,
it's just it's
not surprising.
You don't learn anything. It's just like a pretty big waste of time.
Yeah.
Max and Dana decide that they're going to be exclusive. What do you make of Max?
He wears too many rings for a man. You imagine like getting into bed with a guy with like 7 turquoise rings on and him having to like take them off and then drop them, like the sound of them like dropping on your nightstand, like, and then he gets like on top of you. That's just, to me, is the opposite of what, I don't know, an aphrodisiac would be. I would just be so, it's like the same thing with like, one time I had sex with someone who was wearing Velcro sneakers and there was 3 strips of Velcro on each shoe. Mm-hmm. And I went to the bathroom to like pee or whatever before we had sex. And I just heard like, so many times. And I was like, yeah, but, You can't get fingered with someone wearing all those rings. So he does have to take them off. But I think that that also shows poor decision making to be into all that kind of jewelry.
I get that. I like understand what the draw is to him, because there are times when I look at him and I'm like, he is kind of hot. Like, there's something going on. But at the same time, I'm like, he seems subpar. Like, this seems beneath Dana to be like fucking with this guy in the way that she is. And I'm just like, you see them like fake going to bed, which I was very unclear on that whole scene where they were like, okay, let's go to bed now. And then like she gets in bed with a full face of makeup and they're like, good night, and turn the light off.
But she's with their underwear on
in like a thong. Like, she's literally so hot. And then she's like, come here, get into bed, skinny. And then he like hops in and I'm like, oh, you got to upgrade yourself.
When he's like, you know, I like Dana. I mean, she's funny, but I don't like that because I like to be funny. And that's just like,
yeah, that's a red flag.
Yes, absolutely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp, or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. The bridal shower decorations made me really, like the streamers made me really sad. Like seeing them try and do that in someone's house, I was just like, oh, like no matter how kind of chic they get, like they still, there are certain things that are just like so off the mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
I liked Ariana dragging Stassi in that moment too, where she was like, you're basic. Aren't you supposed to be really good at this? Totally. Which is like the thing, I guess, that rubs me the wrong way of Stassi trying to be like the leader of a basic army is like, she's not basic. And it's truly just like posturing to in an attempt to like brand herself.
You don't think she's basic?
I mean, I don't think so, really. I think that she's like a bitch, but I don't think that she's that basic. I mean, I guess I don't even know what like basic is anymore.
I mean, her clothing has no sense of individuality to it. I believe her when she says she only has sex in missionary position, which is extremely basic.
Yeah, I guess I believe that.
She really embraces ranch. As a condiment, is like, you know, there's nothing really unique about that. And the fact that she acts like liking murder and mystery is like her one thing that makes her unique is actually like not unique whatsoever. True crime is like the biggest genre.
Of course,
like Dateline is like such a big show because a lot of basic people, And I do love Dateline, but a lot of basic people sit home on Friday night and watch that. So like, I do think she's basic. I think she's trying to own a space maybe in a way that, like she definitely is trying to like brand herself, but I do think that she is basic AF. Mm-hmm. And even if she embraces it, I still don't think it's necessarily a great thing. Nothing to brag about.
I guess there's something about this version of Stassi that feels just like inauthentic or holding back a lot more now that there's like so much branding involved and there's higher stakes for her. So I just don't like it. Like she acts like really
digital
cute.
Spin-off.
Yeah, like she just acts really cutesy sometimes and I'm like, this doesn't seem true.
Have you ever listened to her podcast at all?
I have. Yeah. I just recently listened to one where her and Bo, like, were talking about buying their house together.
Yes. Okay.
Did you listen to that? Okay. Yes. What do you think of that?
Kind of an asshole. He's an asshole.
Sucks. I can't being like feeling for Stassi. I was like, well, you've gone and done it again. Like, he's just like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Absolutely. The thing is that like he was giving her shit about not putting his name on the house that she bought with her money that she made, that she earned. Mm-hmm. And like as somebody who put the name of someone on the house with money that I earned, with a house that I bought with money I earned, that he didn't put a single penny into. And then he left me like a month after we went to, 3 weeks after we went to closing. And then that's been sort of like a legal nightmare since then, trying to like have to like refinance and all this stuff. But anyway, like, yeah, good for you. And she's seen her, like her parents have been divorced so many times. Yeah. Like she just is protecting herself as she should. And also, he has no fucking right to give her shit about that at all.
I think he's been declared bankruptcy multiple times.
I wish I had LexisNexis. I would have looked that up.
I don't think that, I mean, I was like, good for you to be so protective. Like, you're doing one thing right, which is you're putting everything in your name and having him like pay you rent or like pay the mortgage or whatever. But yeah. Like, I came away from that podcast. I was just like, this guy is a nightmare. Like,
yes,
he has a stick up his ass about all sorts of like decorations and like this
yes.
sort of like sense of like ownership over something that's not his and like a chip on his shoulder about playing like second fiddle to this woman. But at the same time, it's like, she is the only reason that you have anything going on in your life
besides yes.
being a casting person. And like, I mean, he goes on tour with, he's like part of her live show Hustle right now, which I'm sure she makes bank off of. He like, I guess she does that like cooking with Bo, whatever, on Instagram, which, by the way, I'm traumatized in such a way from that potato dish that he made. I may never fully recover.
That was disgusting.
That was disgusting. It was potatoes cut in half with deli meat ham on them. Then like
shredded cheese,
on top. And then like
it wasn't even a proper gratin. Like it didn't have like milk or butter or anything. It wasn't like a true, I don't know what that was.
That was truly disgusting and wrong. That was satanic yeah. for him to put yeah. that whole dish together with a deli meat ham. Don't do that. Don't do that to me. He's canceled forever for that. That took me over.
Using her to like heighten his platform. I mean, I was so suspicious of him right away, the way that he just jumped in, like full on jumped in and like wanted to be part of her life and wanted to be friends with her friends and immediately became like best friends with everybody. Like that yeah. to me was really suspicious. And then everyone was like, oh, but we love Bo. Like when it started, he seemed really charming and stuff. And I was like, oh, like maybe he's kind of funny. But I always had this like nagging feeling in the back of my head that like, it just didn't seem right. And I was like, oh, well maybe like that's just like what like failed actors in LA are like, maybe like, you know, they just do that. But no, I think that he showed his true colors on that podcast and that was like really shitty.
Yeah.
She needs to find somebody who like loves her fully for who she is instead of being annoyed by who she is. Like the way that Patrick was like so annoyed by her and like Bo seems to be annoyed. Like, I feel like Kim and Kanye, like, Kanye loves that Kim loves to take selfies, whereas, like, that would annoy so many men. Like, she needs to find someone that's like that. And I think initially Bo did seem like that person, and I'm not quite sure that he is that person.
Yeah, I think also that she needs to find someone that's, like, they're independently wealthy. Like, they have their own whole money-making thing going on. And they, like...
Yeah.
That's like has the same amount of power as she has.
And maybe, and this might be hard in LA, but like maybe not someone in entertainment. Like
yeah.
maybe
like
because
she could date a tech guy.
Yeah.
And
oh
I
my
think
God.
That they really? Would like be totally like complimentary to each other. I think that would be good for her career even. Like they could help her get into like tech, which I for some reason that makes like a lot of sense to me, like her getting into that world. But I'm just like, I think that they all care so much, Sheena excluded, because I don't think she cares about finding a man that like meshes well into their friend group. But I think that has become, that's like too important to most of them. Is like,
yes,
will this person fit into the friend group? Will all my friends like this person? And then can we all continue to hang out together? Is like no one's making good relationship decisions based off of that. And Lala
yeah.
didn't, I mean, she also didn't make that her relationship decision based on that. And it worked out for her because she actually got like a rich, questionably rich guy, but who's like has connections that then everyone else is like excited to use. So then then it kind of does become that dynamic because Lala now is like finally accepted, but really only on the basis of her relationship with Randall and her letting them use like the PJ.
Do you think, who do you think out of all of these couples has like the most legs to like make it? Because I don't think, I'm not sure that anyone's going to like really be together forever, but like who's going to be together the longest?
That's a really good question. I kind of feel like Lala and Randall could be together for a long time.
Me too.
Like I think that they make each other laugh. They like entertain each other. They're pretty ride or die with each other. I think she genuinely loves him. Like otherwise, like why would you be with this guy for that long? I don't know. I haven't listened to their podcast, which I've been meaning to.
Me neither. Yeah. I should listen to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that, and you know what? I met him at BravoCon. Mm-hmm. I only asked to take pictures with two people from the Vanderpump Rules cast, and one was Rand, and then the other was Tom Schwartz. But he was very nice. He was really nice and accommodating. And but he also is like, he doesn't need this the way that that Bo might need this, you know, yeah. Or that like Carter needed this.
Or needed Rand Kristen to have it.
Yes. Like Rand has his own thing going on.
And he seems, I follow him on Instagram and he seems like I really genuinely enjoy his energy that he brings to the platform. Like he's very upbeat, encouraging and like high energy. Seems like an involved dad. I mean, I just like, I kind of get it. You know what I mean?
And now Amber and his ex-wife and Lala are getting along.
Yeah. And I like that they can get along with each other.
You know, and promote each other's projects. That's nice. That's nice for the kids.
It's great for the kids. I think Lala cares a lot about his daughters.
And yes. And
I think he is really cute. His daughters are so cute. And I'm just like, I root for them. Like, I want them to make it. But I also want to see their relationship on screen.
It really all just depends, too. I feel like on the money, you know? Mm-hmm. I do think that, like, one shitty investment, or maybe not one, because he did do that, like, John Gotti movie. But, like, you know, he could make some missteps and then it could all be gone. It's like, I really do feel like he is living. He's a gambler. He's really into poker.
Yeah. He's celebrity poker gems level. Like,
yes.
He's doing a like parlay. Sam or Uncut Gems. Like, it's always like he has 50 million and then he has no money at all.
And he's going to make it all back in a 6-way parlay. And, you know, and then it's just, but it's, I think it's always going to be like an up and down. I mean, I'm sure like his insides are probably like constantly twisted in turmoil of like, you know, like.
He seems like he has a lot of cortisol coursing through his body just based on like his body type. I'm like, you have like high cortisol levels.
Yes. Yeah. I bet. Stressed. He's stressed.
So stressed. So I hope he like. His money situation evens out and then he can get like Kybella. And
why hasn't he done Kybella yet?
I don't know. It might be more than Kybella can handle. Like it might have to be a Kybella lift lipo scenario.
He could do, I bet if he did two rounds of Kybella and then did like 3 to 6 rounds of old therapy, which is painful. I did that on my jaw after Kybella.
So therapy like a freeze the fat type of thing?
No, it's tightening. It's a tightening the skin. So like my skin was like a little bit loose after Kybella on underneath. I only got the one round of Kybella because I thought that it was just too painful and I didn't want to do it again. And so then I was like, I'll do the old therapy and I'm like fine with the results. It's not like the most chiseled jaw, but like it's a lot better than what it used to be. And it's certainly not Rand levels, but I think he could do Kybella twice and then some old therapy or maybe even some Cool Sculpting after the Kybella. Whatever the case, it doesn't have to be that invasive. I think that he can improve the, because he's working out a lot.
Yeah, he seems to be like, he has that like middle-aged man body that's like somehow a thick Dorito. But also tight. Yeah. Did you say a Dorito?
Yeah, like the shoulders, like the top,
upside down triangle. Yeah,
yes.
Like it's just men somehow get like thick, but like buoyant and not like as saggy. I feel like women tend to like get saggier over time.
That has to do with our hormones.
Yeah, it's all hormonal. But I hope. But I mean, also if Lala just loves him the way he is, like roller coaster financial high cortisol levels and like a little bit of under chin bloat, then maybe just stay that way.
They retouched a photo. I don't know if it was like an engagement photo or what it was, but like they fully took away his chin, his other chin. So I'm led to believe that they don't love it.
Yeah.
That maybe they would rather it not be there. Yeah,
with Dr. Jason Diamond. Because he's like a high, he's like really up there in terms of like surgeons to the stars.
Oh, yeah. Him and like Dr. Orion, those two.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Orion is like so insanely expensive. Like no one on Vanderpump Rules is at like an Orion level. But I think that they're at like a Jason Diamond. They like kind of came up with Diamond at the same time. And like Lala definitely has the means to like go down a Diamond route. So I hope that they're plotting like a whole game plan to
when are they getting married?
The lower half of Randall's face. I don't
soon, right? Like April, I think.
Yeah.
I think like she did a post like kind of recently that was like in 60 days, I'm going to marry this person or something like that.
Yeah, I think he posted about their like wedding invitations. I want to know. I'm dying to see her dress. Like, who does it? I hope she gets like a designer to do her dress.
Yeah, I bet that she will. Like, she might have like a Vera Wang. You know, it would be interesting as if she did, and I wouldn't put it past her to like do Marquesa.
Oh my god. I could absolutely see that. Someone has to bring back Marquesa, and it might as well be Lala. Yeah. Speaking of wedding dresses, my workout studio that I go to now is right next to the place where Britney's wedding dress was from, Kinsley James. And so every day I walk by that wedding dress studio on my way to go work out.
Her wedding dress... Her actual wedding dress was very, very similar to her cheesy wedding dress for her bachelorette party. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. Like the top. It's so, like, I don't know where that line is drawn for her. I guess
that they're one and the same because her wedding dress also like was like a 3-in-1 dress where they just would like rip off a layer that had been like velcroed on or like unbutton it, and then that was like her cocktail reception dress, and then like they ripped off another layer and that was like the after party dress, but it all was like from the same dress, which really I hate that. I would just, if I can't afford to have actually three different dresses, I'm just gonna wear one dress the whole time.
I just wore one dress. Because the dress was so expensive and I liked it so much that, and you never get to wear it again, that I just wanted to wear it the whole time.
Yeah. Wear it and like trash it. And then maybe do like the Lauren Santo Domingo thing where they like cut off the bottom, like a designer like cut off the bottom of it like halfway through the party or something.
Mine had like a loop on the end so I could put it on my finger.
Oh, I like that. That's very princess of you.
Practical princess.
Practical princess. James and Raquel make like breakfast, and then James has this like really bizarre fight with her about first missing her shift for at Sir, and then also like whether or not she's going to go to Peter's party. And I fully saw their relationship dynamic in that moment, and I was like, I was really uncomfortable.
I was abusive.
Yeah, it's highly abusive. And even though I think, I mean, I've heard rumors that they're not even in a relationship, like they just have an arrangement on camera because he's like actively like also bisexual. It still is like, it was not good.
Well, he's another one that needs to get someone that fits in more with the group.
Mm-hmm. Or just be single.
Or if he was bi, I think that they would all be a lot nicer to him.
If he was bi and just like kind of dating like random dudes and women and having them around, he would be, that would be major, because they need a single, they need one of like kind of an OG person to be like that, bringing that single energy to the mix.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's
too many couples. Kristen's going to do it, because I don't think that, I don't know if they can handle like single Kristen.
Oh man, I would love to see Kristen just like speed dating, or
yeah,
like just bring in randos to like these people's house, these like expensive homes for like parties. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be so fun. That should be her like season 9 storyline, is like, I'm dating and like trying to get back out there and like find a good match. And James should also be dating.
Yeah. His relationship with Raquel is really bizarre to me. It makes sense that it wouldn't be real. I think it's really clear that she just wants to be on the show. Because, like, why else would you put up with that shit from him?
Why else would you date James, who is, like, verbally abusive, and then also work at Sir?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other places to work where you can at least have your dignity at the end of the day. Like, she's working at Sir more than she's filming this show.
Is she working there off camera, too?
Yeah. I've been there on nights when they're not filming, and there's Raquel bussing a table or like taking
some order. I was like,
you played this all wrong.
Yeah, she really did. Wow.
God bless. Britt and her family go over to Katie's house for her wedding shower. It's a bridal, I guess it was a bridal shower. And I love like Lisa's genuine concern for Brittany's like well-being in all of this, where she's like, there was this one part where Lisa's like, I just want her to remember this part, not the rest of it. And I could just tell that, like, it just seemed like Lisa genuinely cared about how Brittany was going to process all of this.
It must be clear to everyone that she's not handling the public, like, backlash well, or, like, any kind of disapproval. I went through, so you know how, like, they showed, like, comments under the, like, you know how she like posted the picture of her bridal shower and then they showed examples of comments. Mm-hmm. None of those handles are real.
Yeah. They look all really of them fake. Up.
Yeah.
One was like all friend of Ryan or something like that, or like pal of Ryan.
Ryan fan. And one was famously, I'm shocked that's not an actual like thing. Yeah. And then, but Brittany turned off comments on that post, since then. So it's like, yeah, I mean, that's probably the best thing for her, but like, you know, that is rough. Like, that is rough on a person if they're not like mentally equipped to handle that. Like, it could be really tough going through that kind of thing. But, so I totally get that, like, you know, Lisa would be sympathetic to that. You know, or empathetic or whatever, but still gave her a negligee.
Gave her a negligee. And like, I have empathy for Brittany, but I also am like, this is your choice. You chose to go meet this person in Vegas.
Yeah. She chose her choice.
Yeah, you chose your choice. And like, this is how it goes. Like, and if you are totally that secure in it, none of this stuff should bother you. But I think that there in the back of her head is like, knows that there is something wrong, or that something isn't adding up, or this isn't maybe the right choice for her. And
yeah,
that's where that insecurity creeps in, and where those people, when people are just like trashing her. I kind of thought it was sweet of her friends to throw her a princess party. Like, it's not at all what I would want for myself, but I was like, okay, like, she obviously like loves this, and like, her friends are just doing what she wants. But it really did make me laugh when I read all those comments when she was like,
totally.
Every single comment is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, grow up. This is supposed to be a grown ass woman. Like, but truly though, like, she's arrested
development.
Like, absolutely.
They all are, but like,
and infantilizing, like it's just, yeah, you're supposed to be getting married, but you're like, it's just clear that she's, I mean, it's so clear. It's just blatantly obvious that she's just into the like the fairy tale aspect of mm-hmm. this relationship. She's marrying the ogre, not the prince. Like, she's marrying the villain. Yeah. She's marrying the Gaston. She's not with the beast. She thinks she's with the beast and she's with Gaston.
No, and that's such a good point. And like, I feel like she's regressing as this relationship progresses. Like, she's like, all this like princess and like fairy tale play and like cutesiness is like, it's way more amped up than it ever has been. And the true arc for her that would have been like her princess redemption is that she dumps Jax, never looks back, and then finds a great new guy and marries that guy. And that was I know, but it was like, that was totally an option that would have been available to her, I think. And I think that she truly believed that if she didn't have Jax, like, she wouldn't be on the show anymore, or like,
she was locked in. They all embraced her. Like, she could have absolutely stayed on that show. Yeah. And
they would have filmed with her. It would have made an amazing next season, like watching Jax spin the fuck out. And like, because what he did in season two with Stassi was like incredible. Like, when he was like crying, like trying to take her out, she was over him. He's like hitting
a tattoo of her name.
Yeah, it gets a tattoo of her name. Then goes and fucks Kristen. I'm sure he and Kristen probably would have fucked again if he and Brittany had broken up. Because I think Kristen's always kind of had the hots for Jax. I don't think that that's like ever really gone away. But yeah, and instead she just like totally leaned away from her like a road of empowerment. And then now we're stuck in like Princess Disneyland.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like a really interesting lesson of like, that's kind of what happens when you make that kind of choice.
Yeah. She's like going to be locked away in her castle in Valley Village with Gaston.
Lance Bass is officiating their wedding, and I love Sherry, Brittany's mom, because I truly believe that she's furious about all this.
She was pissed. You could tell by her face. It's like, are you okay with this? Mm-hmm. 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 Like,
yeah, couldn't want you to be happy. Like, yeah. A frozen smile. And she has to like pretend that she's happy when the cameras are rolling, but she's like really in her head, she's like, who the fuck is gonna say the prayer?
She's pissed because they're a family friend. But I think also what's gross about her is that she doesn't even have the courage of her convictions. Like, because I know that she probably, I have a feeling that she also does not agree with the homosexual lifestyle mm-hmm. and agrees with the pastor. But she is more interested in keeping that cool sculpting coin coming in. Like, she needs this check to pay for her procedures, and so she's willing to like sell out. I would have more respect for her. I mean, I wouldn't have respect for her, but I would have more respect for her if she actually like just stuck to her guns and was like, this is our religion and this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And instead she believes that stuff, but is like, she's a latent homophobe. She's like a closeted homophobe.
But that was why Brittany, like when that whole rumor about her and Kristen hooking up came out, and it was like, Brittany kept trying to shut that down, was because her family has this like long history of homophobia. And it was like, no daughter of ours is going to be going down on another girl. Like, it was like a total non-starter. And I think that that's like why she got so mad at Jax during that season. And he was the one that even put the rumor out there in the first place.
I know. What an asshole. When she married him. What an asshole.
And I love Brittany being like, well, my mom has to get on board with it because her second marriage was on a cruise ship, which is fantastic.
I wonder what it was, like Carnival or something.
Probably Carnival. I wonder if they had like a suite or if they just got like one of the really cheap like underwater rooms where you just have like a little like hole peeking out.
That's like a cool destination wedding. It's like awful.
Married, like, married on a cruise. nowadays yeah. you just get like coronavirus and also yeah. like have a wedding and then have all your friends get like docked away from the shore as you all like one by one drop like flies after the wedding. But Sherry's also been married, I think, 4 times.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
I think so. She's had like a That's lot ridiculous. Of marriages.
That is, I mean, it's ridiculous that they are making such a big deal about this wedding when they treat marriage like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. James clowning on Jackson Brittany is my lifeline. And we need just, even though he's like an abusive boyfriend, I need some sort of voice of reason to come and like bring levity to this show. Like, he's a necessary evil.
I think James is really funny. I always thought he was funny. Mm-hmm. I think he says some of the funniest things and some of the more iconic things.
Yeah.
I mean, Honda Civic Selfie. It's not about the pasta. He's always has, he has hits. He has hits on hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they need to incorporate him more. And I like that there's going to be like this division where like Tom Sandoval clearly just embraces James, mm-hmm. which bothers everyone else. But like, James was right. Jax did fuck Faith. And it's wild that Brittany's marrying this guy.
It's wild like, that you can't even say that that happened when it is something that happened. You know what I mean? And like
on TV, it's not even like it happened off camera. It was yeah. a storyline on this television show.
Was fully documented. And like the hypocrisy that happens amongst the group, like I'm remembering at Stassi's book signing when she like read aloud in front of Brittany and Kristen like a chapter where she talks about Jax fucking Kristen, and it's like
yeah.
you're gonna get mad at James for saying that Jax fucked Faith, which is a fact, and you're not gonna hold that same standard for Stassi when she's bringing that up to these two women's faces, like for the entertainment, like in front of a room of people. She basically did the exact same thing that James did.
She did. I did think that it struck me that Brittany didn't like it, but that oh, yeah. she just sort of like swallowed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, it's all right. I'm used to it.
Happens all the time.
Wait, is Kristen an Eskimo sister with every single woman on the cast?
Brittany, Ariana,
Stassi.
Stassi, not
Lala. Lala,
oh,
fuck
Lala, because James.
Yeah.
Sheena?
What is Sheena? Has Sheena fucked anyone?
I think.
Maybe not Sheena. But and maybe not Katie. The
Peter
ultimate.
Also has like fucked almost every girl in the cast too. I
oh.
think.
Right. So maybe that's the Katie.
Oh, she's not. Yeah, she's. I don't know if Kristen and Katie are Eskimo sisters.
So everyone got a piece of Peter except for Kristen?
Maybe. I think he definitely dated Stassi. I think he has slept with everyone. I need to double check. I need to brush up on my Peter facts because I'm a little rusty.
It's, yeah, it'd be
Kristen's
interesting.
Going hard. She is fully Eskimo Sisters with 90% of the female cast members. And if you believe that she and Brittany had sex, just like fully has had sex with Brittany as well, which I yeah. believe. Yeah.
I absolutely believe that.
Peter's birthday at the batting cages seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Like, how is that legal that you can go take shots and like play beer pong and get drunk and then go into a batting cage?
They have that in Queens. There's, really? I've been to it. Yeah, you can bring your own 6-packs actually at the one in Queens, but they also sell beer.
Yeah.
Not a bar.
Especially dangerous. Yeah. Maybe it's like a BYOB scenario here too. So it's like they don't have the same liability.
Maybe. You should find out where it is.
Yeah. I want to go now. It looked fun.
Yeah. I do love batting cages.
I love a batting cage. Sheena's freezing her eggs, but no one pays attention to her anymore. I love
She's
Sheena's
like, either you're not crusade. Listening or you don't care. And it's like a little column A, a little column B. Yeah.
C, all of the above.
Yeah.
And then Peter goes up to Jax to be like, I just want you to know, like, I didn't invite James. And then Jax tries to, like, play it like he would be cool if James was there. But then he goes, but it's good, you know, you just, like, that you didn't invite him because you never know what he's going to do. Like, is he going to run through the wall? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, like the Kool-Aid man? Like, why is that? Why is that a thing?
Has he been known to do that, James?
I don't know, but in Carrie O'Donnell's in my Road to Sir episode about Jax, we literally said, like, at one point when he was living in Miami, he was like so fucked up that he ran through a wall, and he just, like, kept running through walls over and over. So I feel like Jack somehow, like, incepted that, and then now we are seeing it play out on screen. But if you never know what he's gonna do, is he gonna run through a wall? Like, no one runs through walls.
No. Also, Jax is the one that's embarrassing in public. He took his shirt off in a strip mall parking lot to, like, fight someone for no reason.
You never know what James is going to do. Brittany's literally screaming at the top of her lungs in, like, a public bar, and Jax is also screaming. Yeah, yeah, like, so you guys are the wild cards.
Absolutely. They're the problem.
Stassi and Katie talking to Dana, I was like, okay, who cares? Like, none of you guys like each other or even, like, have a vested interest in anyone's future. And then they just, like, bond over shit-talking Sheena, which I'm like, enough. Like, leave Sheena alone.
I know. Anytime, like, you just always have to, like, be, like, worried. Anytime, like, there's, like, a woman that, like, wants to base a relationship with you on mutual hatred of something else, like, that's just not a good foundation of a friendship. And I think that that's probably why there's so many, like, cracks in the foundation of, like, Witches of WeHo, because they're just, like, at their core, just, like, nasty about other women. Like, I imagine that that's probably how they all became friendly at Sir. I mean, maybe not shit-talking Sheena, but, like, someone. Like,
yeah, well, Katie even said it, where she was like, if you're working at Sir, you have to, like, either talk shit or you're going to get shit talked on you. And that's, like, the whole dynamic of working there.
Wow. Well,
like, Katie, you were never good at talking shit. Like, you're better at you're better when you keep your mouth shut. The only time you're good at talking shit is when you're wasted.
Shit, or, you know, angry texting. Mm-hmm. That's where she shines. It's her drunk texts.
Then Brittany starts looking at her comments and then just fully melts down. I don't think Brittany's, like, mental health can actually take much more of being on Vanderpump Rules. Like, maybe, like, she will eventually crack and we'll see her full break from reality play out on TV. Because, like, if, like, her comments on her Princess Party Instagram are, like, getting to her at this level where she's now going on a narrative of, like, everyone's out to get me right now, like, and not
the comments weren't even that nasty. It's not like they weren't, like, they were just like, this is stupid. Yeah. Like, that was kind of, like, the depth of it. It was just like, aren't you supposed to be, like, a grown up? Like, it wasn't like, like, truly, I mean, maybe there were truly nasty ones and you just didn't see them. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that maybe people were just, like, piling on. People were probably, like, making fun of the princesses. And then also, like, people were probably mentioning the pastor stuff because that had all just happened, like, in that same time period. So, like, they probably were just adding to, you know, those posts, like, whatever her most recent post was. They'll like, talk about it on there. But yeah, I don't think she needs to step away from the social media, I think. They both do. Jax filmed himself, did a live. He did a live last night where I watched it too, which is, like,
how was it? For me.
He literally was watching a hockey game and just, like, kind of glancing. Like, it struck me that he was doing it because like, a bunch of girls sign on and then they say, like, you're hot. Like they say things to him and he just, like, needs his ego fed for a little bit. and Brittany wasn't home. And so he just was like watching the game, and then he would just like glance down every once in a while, and he'd be like, thank you. Thanks. And then that was all he was doing.
Awesome live.
At one point he was like, he gets salty for no reason a lot of the time with like his own followers who like him. And someone was like, why aren't you talking about the episode? And he's like, because I didn't watch it and I don't like watching myself on TV. And like basically like insulting the people who are watching the show, like, mm-hmm. like he's like, because hockey's on, that's why. Like any this is more important than Vanderpump Rules. It's like great promotion. Yeah. Pal.
God, he's so backwards. And I saw like that he had gone on live and like spent a lot of the time talking about how like Sandoval is just as bad as he is because like Max said all that racist shit on Twitter and Sandoval didn't fire him. And I'm like, Sandoval doesn't have the power to like fire Max.
No.
Like Lisa 5% has that power. Yeah. Lisa also said that she wasn't firing Max, like came out and said that to the Daily Mail. And then also like Bravo ultimately has that power of like whether or not
Evolution. Max,
yeah, remains on the show. So like his arguments are just so, they're based on nothing. And then Brittany like cries, but she can't just take responsibility for her own like decisions. It's not like, why do people have to ruin everything? It's like, you chose this and this is a consequence of your actions. Like, totally. That's the way the world works.
Yes. Yeah. Just it's for her insane. To be like, I didn't do anything wrong. And it's like, but you did. You did.
And it's not that big of a deal. Like, the more you protest and try and like defend yourself, the bigger you turn it, you are turning it into a bigger deal than it is. Like if you were just like chill.
Streisand effect.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just like shocking. So I feel like I'm hopeful that that just builds to a full like meltdown somewhere along the line. And we just see like a total divorce from sanity from both of them.
I'm curious if the pastor went to the wedding because he was invited. In the interview he gave to Page Six, he said he wasn't going to be performing the ceremony, officiating the ceremony, but he was still invited. I'm curious to see if he went.
Yeah.
And if anything happened with that.
Like if this would be an ongoing conversation or if they're just going to drop it at this, like after this episode. Because like the way that when Sandoval told him like, let's go to the bar for a second. And then he brought it up and Jax was like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not having this conversation. Is like, that's not just like, I'm not going to talk to you about this. That's like, I'm not talking about this on camera at all.
Yeah.
Like in a refusal to even film a scene where I'm asked these questions, which is like breaking, like it broke the fourth wall in a really amazing way where you just see like, oh, this is like what Jax has told everyone is like, I won't film with you if you question me in this way. And so, and then also like why everyone has to pretend that they're just like chill with all the decisions that Jax and Brittany are making.
Yeah. But then also he, like when he said he didn't want to talk about it. And then he walked over to Brittany and she's crying about something completely different. She's crying about the comments about her Princess Party. And he's like, oh, but the gay thing about the pastor. And then he turned it into this huge thing after refusing to discuss it.
Yeah, that was amazing. Like seeing the way that everyone like tried to push their own drama into that situation. Because like, Jax did it first. And then Kristen, is this about him trying to get James there? And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, literally no one has brought up James.
That was two seasons ago, Kristen. Yeah.
And then Brittany, I love when she gets to like a level where her accent gets so out of control. She goes, I saw it. Like, and then Stassi like tries to bring some Game of Thrones reference in, which I'm like, shut the fuck up. Game of Thrones is over. Like, just drop it for the love of God. And also, like, she didn't use the term martyr correctly, which bugged
me. No, she didn't. She didn't. That was... Hey, who do you think... By the way, I was trying to think this past episode. Like, who do you think is the smartest person of this cast? And who's the dumbest?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think Jax is really dumb. Like, just book smart, dumb, and, like, doesn't know things.
Yeah, can't even shoplift, right?
Like, he doesn't understand, like, irony or even, like, sarcasm, really. I think Stassi's smart, but then she does things where I'm like, oh, you're actually, like, not that smart.
Yeah.
I think Ariana is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she went to college and I believe graduated from college.
Yes.
Which is not, doesn't mean you're like smart, but at least just like has more education than a lot of them.
She seems like she knows, she's sharper anyway.
Yeah.
I think Schwartz is probably the smartest person, in my opinion. Although I feel like this new girl, Dana, is pretty smart.
Yeah.
She's with the Mac stuff seems dumb.
Yeah, but that also could just be, like, a storyline that they're telling them. Like, you have to pretend to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that she likes him as much as they're trying to portray on the show that she likes him.
Yeah. And it might also just be about getting Sheena back for being a bitch.
Yeah.
But I do think Schwartz is really smart. He was pre-med, right? And then
he was for a while, but then dropped out totally.
But he's... seems like he can, he's like good with like he understands analogies, mm-hmm. in ways that it seems like the other people don't grasp, and he was able to like cheat on his girlfriend very like just like sort of like overtly, and then still kind of like came off like just smelling like a rose, mm-hmm. like he just never like gets really in trouble for anything and no one ever really gets mad at him, and he puts the least in and gets the most out. So I don't know. He's my pick for smartest.
Yeah. He's managed to just skate by on being cute for his entire
life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I have put money on Dana for being like smart.
Yes. She's smart.
I think Lala's kind of smart. Like the way that she's played all of this to come out like, she's had an amazing trajectory just like entering this circle of friends on the level of like basically everyone being like, you're a whore, and then rising to the top. And I believe that she has a lot more power within the group.
Yeah, she's very savvy.
Maybe one of the most powerful in the group.
She's like intuitive in a way that the rest of them aren't.
Mm-hmm. And like getting sober, I think she realized that was like a good strategy move for her and like a good lifestyle change for her. Yeah. I would love to see them actually like compete. Like I would like compare SAT scores or
yes.
Yeah, like I wish there was a way to look those up or have to them play like a Mensa game or something with each other.
Yes.
Or just like do like IQ tests.
Yeah, like, or even just like some sort of like a trivia competition,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not even trivia. Like, maybe something like on Real World Roll Rolls Challenge, like some maybe like one of those puzzles that yeah. they would have.
Brain puzzles would be really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter, I think, would rank the lowest. I don't think Peter knows anything. I think that he is dumb as a rock.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't got it. I love when he goes up to Jax and he goes, Jax, what is happening? I also like Brittany like getting like when she gets like violent, because I do. She used to get in like fights and stuff back in Kentucky. Like she was like a spitfire. And I
she
think
seems
that,
like a type.
Yeah, and she's like, knock him out, knock him the fuck out. And I love when her, like, Kentucky brawl side comes through when she's really pissed. And she's been, like, losing her cool a lot more in, like, later seasons of Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this like whole season continues down this path.
Well, I'm sure that the wedding's going to be incredibly dramatic. Like they get in a huge fight with, that's when like things just like went to shit with Kristen, right?
Over, oh, like the girls all have their like ultimate falling out.
Yeah. Because like Stassi's still talking to Kristen at this point, like talking to her.
But she hasn't said whether or not Kristen's invited to her wedding. So she's like holding that over her head, like very publicly. And also publicly said, like, if she doesn't invite me to her wedding, like our friendship is over. But it's just like this like up in the air thing. And I mean, like what Katie did during the wedding shower or bridal shower or whatever, where Kristen's like, are we both just, and Katie's like, yeah, like, I just hate when Katie's up on like a high horse like that.
I know. Get
she
off your
relishes high it.
Yeah. She's going to fall through a glass window up that high. Mm-hmm.
You know what happens when you get that high up? You better watch out. Oh, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about this shit. Yeah, so much.
You're so knowledgeable. You're a great encyclopedia of knowledge and research of the Vanderpump Rules.
Useless facts.
They're useful for something. Everyone needs to listen to Tracy's podcast, Pot Psychology, that you do with your friend Rich. It's really, really good. And yeah, tell everyone where they can find you other than your pod.
You can find me Tracy with an IE Morrissey on everything.
I look forward to seeing what else happens with any Jamil related shenanigans.
I will absolutely keep you updated.
Good.
If I don't go public with stuff, because I am still researching everything.
Are you planning on like writing about it, or is it more just like out of your own curiosity at this point?
I was going to write about it, and then people really pushed back. So the cut wouldn't do it. Like they were really interested. And then, you know, I talked to Stella, who's the EIC, and then she like, it was during fashion week. So then she had me speak with like, I don't know, like a deputy editor or something like that. And then she was really into it. And then she was like, okay, I have to pitch this at a meeting on Friday. And it was like a Tuesday. And I was like, Monday. I was like, this story's kind of taking off. Like, I think we should do it quickly. And then she was like, oh, okay, like we're not going to do it. This isn't the right fit for us. And I do know that they like had her recently on like a digital cover of the magazine. So, and then I tried to take it to another publication, and that was like bigger, and they're known more for like their longer form pieces that are like more researched and stuff. And they couldn't do it because they just recently shot a package with her, and which hasn't come out yet. And then, so I kept running into that. Nobody wanted to, jeopardize their, like, talent relations for it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, that's, like, kind of what sucks about Gawker being gone, is that, like, Gawker didn't give a fuck about that whole kind of, like, the, like, cult of celebrity that, like I just, you know, the whole, like, cult of celebrity in which, like, people seem to be inoculated from having to take responsibility for like being honest and, you know, being accountable for things like that's just so bullshit to me. And like, so of course, like women's magazines or like celebrity magazines are going to, you know, do that and not want to jeopardize those relationships. Cause it's not just those relationships. It's like all the talent that would be with like Jamila's agent and, or Jamila's like PR firm. And they would like, you know, hold those people back from covers and whatever access and stuff. So I get the game. That's why I was like, well, fuck this. I've done so much research on this shit. I'm just going to like put some stuff on Patreon. And then I ended up making about as much money as I would have made if I had written a feature. Yeah. So I'm fine with it now.
Yeah. So it all worked out. That's like why I love platforms like Patreon, because they allow like writers or creators to find other ways to like bypass the whole like pitch process and like invoicing and editorial process. Yes. And you can just like make something and people decide for themselves whether it has direct like monetary consumer value. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. The Everlane of content.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's been really cool. That's I've I'm happy with that. There are things I could do more of. I don't know. But I am definitely going to like keep researching celebrities. I love finding out a scammer. I love scammers and liars. That's like my favorite thing.
It's so fascinating. And then to see like the way that they operate, like position themselves in the world as a way to like allow themselves the ability to like scam and lie. Like in this case with her, with Jameela, it's like, oh, you're such like a social, you're like a justice warrior for body positivity and like mental health advocate that almost makes it like okay for you to just say whatever you want because like at least you're doing this on the other side.
It's just like in her it's like performative wokeness and at its height. Like the thing about like the body positivity or what she calls it, body neutrality, is that like she still like talks shit about women that are too thin. Like she like will tweet like nasty things like when she sees like runway models and things and she's like, they're all doing coke and smoking cigarettes. And it's like, yo, don't talk about women's bodies if you don't believe in, you know, shitting on women, just like, you know, big or small, like don't talk about women's bodies, like don't talk about anyone's bodies, and like don't like, you know, say that, you know, assume that they're like doing drugs and stuff. Like that's like not, that's not very cool. That's not that's not woke in my opinion. But yeah, she does that. She likes to put herself on a lot of different she likes to have a lot of different platforms to like be virtuous, and like she's just like Tahani on, did you watch The Good Place?
I kind of did, but I didn't like watch enough of it to really get a sense of who her character was.
Her character was like this really wealthy socialite heiress who was a philanthropist and was like known for, you know, all of her charity work. But she, you know, went to hell because she was just doing the charity work because she wanted to be associated with being a good person and not actually be a good person. So it's very similar to like what's going on with her.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
No wonder she's, you know, cast in that role.
A bunch of people from like her past that she's worked with at like the BBC and like all over have like just started like DMing me, like telling me shit. People from, girls she went to high school with, girls she went to grade school with, they're like, she wasn't deaf. But I didn't put any of those things like out there. One thing that one girl said that was so interesting, or actually two girls said that was so interesting to me. They were like, Jameela, like she gave all these like interviews about how she was bullied in high school because she was fat. They were like, first of all, she's always been drop dead gorgeous. And they were like, and secondly, she said that like in this one article, she said that that we used to write, that girls would write things about her, like nasty slurs and stuff on the lockers or on her locker. And they were like, we didn't have lockers in our school.
Which, amazing.
I know, that was like such a great little like nugget of like, okay, all right. Cause like, that's why like I didn't really repeat a lot of things that people said. Cause it's like, I have no way of knowing. There's two sides to every story, but like that is like, come on. Like
that's
there's
like
no
a fact. Lockers. Yeah. God, I just want like, I want to know, the truth is in there somewhere, but I feel like we'll never know it.
I'll try to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you're doing the Lord's work. I'm living for the crusade. Thank you. Modern day crusader, Tracy Egan Morrissey. thanks again for being on the pod, and I look forward to next time.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye. Sexual.
I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp, or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.